Yeah.
Hold on.
He got something.
I see it. It's a hair rock. I know some shit is coming. It's the way his head is rocking. It's the way his head is rocking. I know that your man's got a bar in there. Even if it's one, even if it's a half.
Half a bar.
He has a bar. Half a bar.
He's a star.
Hey.
She got me off guard.
Hey, yo, this is why.
He hit the studio.
Hey.
About to shoot a radio show. I don't know what I'm about to say next, though. I'm here with Ebony and TK, and she's a writer and a poet, though.
Yo.
We're getting money over here.
Yo. Yo.
We in the studio.
Yo. Hey. Hey. What you got, E?
She pulling out the phone.
No, what you got, anything. E?
She got them bars.
What you got, E?
Anything.
I don't know
how to sing. We are sitting at the table. Uh-oh. I know that everybody's able.
Uh-oh.
Able to make a dime. And rhyme time.
Yo. The bars be in the building.
I'm done.
The bars be in the building.
It's so much
hey,
fun.
Hey, man. Like shit.
I'm done.
I love it. This is the fun part. This is the fun part. I just get to do my job. It's the yo's and the uh-huhs. I'm a professional. I got that shit down. Yo. Yeah.
Say what?
Yo. You got a bar?
Her timing has become impeccable.
Hey, where's yours at?
Where's
you stay
wife?
With the bar. Where's the bar?
Because I get paid for my bar.
I mean, come on. Oh, we need like a half a bar. We can't even get a half a bar in the studio. Right.
Can I get a stanza?
I'll give you a broke bar.
Stanza.
That's what I'll do because I'm a superstar.
Oh, man.
This guy right here, if I run far,
yo.
I have to run from nothing because I'm too lazy. Don't give a fuck. Call me crazy.
Hey. I know he was going to crazy. How did I know he was going to crazy too?
It's the easy bar. It's the easy
bar.
Man.
See, everybody got
you
bars.
Get them easy
I love
bars
that shit.
Out. You know what I mean?
I love that shit. All right, so we on live here at Rhythmics Radio. I don't think I've ever said that online before.
Rhythmics Radio?
Yeah, maybe once
I'm
or twice.
I'm sure you have at least once.
Yeah. Well, here we are, Rhythmics Radio. Got me, TK the Kid, with my lovely cousin E Day, of course, in the building.
Hello.
And then we got Mr. Chase Fitness. I know I'm probably not supposed to call him that, but it just sounds so cool. Mr. Chase Fitness.
It does. It sounds real good.
Like superstar Mr. Chase Fitness. And, of course, we got our man B, because I don't know if he's going to be in a place to be or he's going to be in another place to be or wherever he's going to be. So, you know, we got my man B in the studio taking care of us.
In and out.
With the text. Whoa. Oh, shit.
Oh, you know what that is? So, here's the thing. I already know what it is.
It's my fault.
No, it's the plug is coming out of the cord in the under the table. The beautiful part is that
it's they can still hear it.
So
oh yeah, we live, so we on. While Mr. Tech text.
Uh-oh.
Gotta let Mr. Tech text.
Oh,
there we go.
There you go.
Ooh, back.
Time to buy a new
back
wire.
Back like we never left. Back like we
gotta
never
buy a new
left.
Wire. That's all. Stop fronting.
All right, good people out there.
I told
there,
y'all I was
know.
Lazy in the bars. I try to tell you.
Good people out there watching the show. Y'all know what we do here at Come Union. You know, the show is about cousins coming together to have conversations around breaking barriers through the bonding of blood. I don't think I say that to y'all enough, so I think I'm going to start adding that tagline at the beginning so everybody understands why we're here.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no misconceptions around the conversations that we have in this studio. So this is a very free environment where you get to say whatever the fuck you want because you are an adult.
That's right.
And anybody that doesn't want to hear what we got to say also can either not watch or not watch. But for all you people that are watching, we are glad that you are here, and we are about to get into our affirmation as we always do to start.
Mm-hmm.
So, our lovely E Day, who came up with this affirmation that's been holding us for how many shows did you say, B? 26 or 27 shows. 26 or 27 shows, good people. We've been out here in these streets.
Yeah.
I hope you've been enjoying it so far and look forward to the things that's coming. We want to have more guests like we got Mr. Chase Fitness in the building today. You know what I mean? We're going to talk about that in a minute, but first we're going to get started with our affirmation.
Yes. So it's just so funny that every time I have to say it, I am like, I can't believe I wrote this affirmation.
You did.
Not trying to sound all
Because you're a writer.
High, you know, pompous, whatever. But I'm like, I can't believe I did this.
I forgot
this.
To put one on my joint. I'm lunch.
Oh, yeah.
True.
So true. We say the affirmation after me. So I say a line and we repeat it, okay?
It's like a call to action at the church Sunday.
Yeah. Okay. You ready?
We are.
Okay. I have a healthy body, heart, soul, and mind.
I have a healthy heart, body, soul, and mind.
I am full of positive and nourishing thoughts.
I am full of positive and nourishing thoughts.
Communion is where I come to unite with those around me. I am grounded and present in this experience.
I am grounded and present in this experience.
I am here. I am whole.
I am here and I am whole. I'm not sure if you've ever watched our show before, but that is my absolute favorite line. I am here and I am whole, because it's really about being present in the moment and whatever you do. I think that you make the most out of your life, and the contributions that you give to other people when you're fully present.
Right.
So that's what makes that my absolute favorite line. So thank you, E, for always coming through. I hope you guys at home were repeating after E as she was dropping that on us. So now let's get into it. So we always start our show with figuring out how everybody's week went. We do it a couple ways. It's either a word, a song, or a phrase. So in one word, in one song, or one phrase, let us know what your week looked like, Mr. Chase Fitness.
Oh. Let's see, a song. Off the Grid by Kanye.
Off the Grid by Kanye. Tell us a little bit about that, how we got there.
So Off the Grid is like being seen but not being seen at the same time.
Okay.
So this week was like trying not to be seen. There's a lot of like crazy stuff going on.
Right.
And I'm trying to, you know, manipulate some stuff.
Okay.
But at the same time, I still got to be present in the right. moment.
Absolutely.
Which Ebony just spoke about a couple of seconds ago.
Dope shit, right? Yeah. It always ties in. I find that everybody that comes here is supposed to be here in that moment. And it all ties together and it all makes sense somehow. You know what I mean? It's always crazy. But I love that shit. That's how I know it's that we have been intentional in creating this project and that the universe is meeting us there to fulfill whatever that thing is. So, you know, it'd be funny because you guys didn't see the pre-show, so we was in here like joking and laughing and actually being goddamn fools. I think it was me. It wasn't really them. It was actually me, but then all of a sudden now we got this serious-ass tone and, you know, when it's time to take care of business, that's what we do. Mm-hmm. So, E, Off the Grid for Mr. Chase Fitness, and what are you?
What's your word? My phrase... from like Welcome Back Carter. Welcome back. Because I was back to work with some kids this week.
The kids are in the building.
They are in the building. And they are ready for me.
Okay. Are you ready for them?
I am.
Okay.
I am ready for them. My class is ready for them. So I think it's the whole welcome back for me. Mm-hmm. Like, and welcome back my students, for
gotcha.
Sure.
Okay. So we got Off the Grid, Welcome Back. And for me, my word is going to be, would be accountability. That's going to be my word for the week. As it relates to myself and the things that I am responsible for, but then also in many ways, as it relates to the things around me, being at work, at home, play, whatever. Accountability has come up a lot this week, and trying to figure out how to balance being accommodating to match levels of accountability. So I'm a manager, right? And so, you know, when you're a manager, a lot of times you're also playing a parent, a friend, a therapist, all these things, because all these people are bringing their whatever it is to you.
Sounds like a teacher. We have all those roles too.
Sounds like a trainer.
I was about to say, like real life shit. It's one of those things that when you're constantly responsible for other people, all the while having a business to run, you know what I'm saying? You have to figure out how to create a certain level of balance between the ultimate goal and making sure that you're making good on the business side of it, but then also realizing that you're working every day with people who you also have to have a certain level of compassion and grace for, while still being able to apply the pressure of accountability. Because a lot of times you love these people, you care about them, you build relationships with them and stuff like that over time. But people take advantage of that and trying to figure out how to balance.
Preach.
Preach. Figuring out how to balance, you know, I love you, so I care about your position and your perspective. But because I love you, I also have to hold you accountable. It's hard to create that narrative so that the recipient sees love on both sides. Mm-hmm. A lot of times when you apply pressure like that through accountability, people start to feel oppressed, and thus it creates anger and resentment and bitterness and stuff like that. And trying to figure out a way to administer both of these things while aligning with one narrative that says, I care about you and this is why I'm doing what I'm doing, has been a really tough thing this week. But that is the job. So
I think
accountability
if you
is
start
big.
With that line, say it. I care about you. Uh-huh. So this is why I'm doing
And honestly,
X,
you know,
y,
I don't think I have any of my employees that, you know, watch right now, even though I did owe one of my employees the website and stuff because he did want to watch. But I would want to believe anybody that's heard me talk to my employees knows that that's the space that I operate from with them. You know what I mean? But I also know that people only receive you from their ability
level
to understand and receive.
The level of understanding.
Receive you. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that I know that good intentions don't mask bad judgment. So I do know that sometimes, you know, even though I intend to be a certain way in voicing my concerns and stuff like that, I could come off, you know, rash and stuff like that, which is not my intention. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just got to be that cut and dry because what's at stake? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But I would want to say that overall, most of the people that I encounter in my business day to day understand that I do care about them and I care about the business, and it's my job to create a balance in that scale between the two. I can't lean too far one way or the other without tipping things over. I have to be the thing in the center that's keeping things grounded and leveled out. So accountability, long story short, accountability is my word. So we got off the grid, we got welcome back, and we got accountability. That is how we have tipped off our week. What you got, Mr. Chase? I see that this one is really resonating. So what you got for us, Mr. Chase?
Like what you just was talking about is crazy within itself. So I recently just had a situation with a client.
Okay.
All right.
Not this client
right here. No, not this client. But another client, right?
But a client.
I'm his favorite client. All y'all other clients. Just letting y'all know. Go ahead.
Don't listen to her. She's crazy, guys.
So anyway, it was an issue with getting on a scale.
Okay.
And my job as being a trainer is to hold you accountable. Right?
Absolutely.
So you come to me and you ask me to help you get results, but you need accountability to get you to where you are.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And when I ask you about, are you holding yourself accountable? You can't just flip out.
Yeah. But that's what people do. It's defensiveness because the inability to hold themselves accountable, probably because they haven't been in situations where they have had to.
It's just crazy. Like, you know, we're all supposed to be like adults, but we still revert to childish ways.
And I think those are our trauma responses playing a part in a lot of the ways that we interact as adults. Mm-hmm. And I have this very interesting gift. I don't even know if I want to say this out loud, but I tell E about it all the time, that when I'm looking at a person face to face, especially when I see them operating inside of their trauma, I see them as the child that they are on the inside. So I actually don't see them as the adult. I see the little person inside them responding in a certain way that their shell is showing me, but it's the little person that's actually acting like that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I deal with that a lot. Very interesting gift. It gets very taxing at times to see people in that manner. Mm-hmm. But what it does is it allows me to have, like I said before, a lot of grace and compassion in places where a lot of people do not, because I see them that way. And I thank God for that, because I know that it is grace and mercy that holds all of us together. Mm-hmm. And I try to remember, I have a piece or a quote. I don't know it all the way verbatim, But ultimately, it says that it leans into the idea that your first breath is the reason that you should have compassion. Mm. Because if you are alive and breathing, that means that someone is giving you a chance, which means at that point you have to also give another person a chance. So because of that, I'm not in a position where I can hold people in contempt. I think that we should all be having conversations with people through honesty and integrity and shit like that that allows for internal conviction. That's what I try to operate in. I try not to tell people who and what they are and how they should be. I try to line them up in a way that they feel an internal conviction that allows them to create some sort of change in their lives. And I think a lot of ways we do that by being an example. Mm-hmm. I was just in a situation, right, where you know how you're dealing with kids and shit. And you would tell a kid if they didn't do something or another, you know, like say thank you or this or that. Right, you know, so talking to an adult, you know, encounter with an adult. You know, have you ever had someone do something and they don't say thank you and your response to it is like, you welcome. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Not saying like, nigga, you ain't hear me. You know, we're not about to fight about it. But even if you walk away and don't say, you're welcome, I think that all the training that you have had from the time you were a child up until adult, I think that that is going to ring and play on the inside of you, and it has to do its own work. It's a seed, in a sense, that keeps from being confrontational while also being convicting. You know what I'm saying? And I think that, unfortunately, adults are walking around with a lot of childhood trauma that doesn't allow for them to respond like adults. But it's our job as adults who are healing and being healed and have healed and have healing at the forefront of the interactions that they have, whether it be physically, mentally, emotionally, or financially. It is our responsibility to be an example that draws people out of their childhood trauma and allows them to grow out of those experiences. So I know that's a tough job. I mean, like I said, I do that shit every day. Yeah, It's really hard doing the balancing act of caring about the person and also trying to manage the result, because the two things don't always go together. So I tell my employees, I engage you as people, but I manage your position. So I don't manage them. You know what I mean? I manage the role itself. The role has objectives. The role has metrics. The role has, you know, processes and stuff like that. So I have to manage that part. And when I am managing that, I am not managing you. I am only managing that. So if we say, you got to show up every day at 5:30, no later than 5:45, and then you show up at 5:46, I am managing the process. I'm not managing you. So if I have to write you up 100 times, it's not you. It's the process that I'm aligning myself with. You are responsible for the process. You know what I'm saying? I'm responsible for managing it. So I never let myself be in a situation where if I have to, you know, term someone or document whatever it is, that I take that on as myself. When I first became a manager, I really felt bad about thinking about people having families and responsibilities and homes and this, that, and the third. And I had to get to the point where I had to accept the fact that I didn't do this. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You did this. And if you are okay with making, when it always was crazy to me that at that moment where you sitting there and they're like, yeah, I mean, I got this going on. And I had to finally tell myself, but you had that going on when you decided. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You're making that more important to me than it was to you. You had kids when you didn't come to work. And mm-hmm. You had kids when you opted out of doing what you signed up to do.
Right.
You can't make you having kids become a guilt trip for me because now I have to manage the process on my side that you didn't manage with personal accountability on your side. And a lot of times that's what people like to put on you. You know, the guilt around holding them accountable. Yeah, you know. Feel sorry for me. Yeah.
Like I ain't got shit else.
Yeah, to be worried about and doing. Like, I got my own shit that I'm trying to hold myself accountable around.
Right.
Yeah.
And I have taken on a role in trying to help foster some accountability with you. But people don't be seeing people as people. That's the problem.
Yeah, they don't.
They just see you as your role. Mm-hmm. The role that you play mm-hmm. in their lives, which removes levels of respect, compassion, and stuff like that from the person on the other side of it. So how you deal with that? All in all, you know, you got this situation. How does it turn out?
Well, the situation's still alive. We're gonna figure it out this week.
Okay. All right then.
So no, I'm gonna have a conversation with her, you know, outside of being in the gym.
Okay. Yeah.
Go to a coffee shop or something. Yeah. And then, you know, got to figure out what's going on and if I can help her. If I can't help her.
Right.
Like, what's it gonna be?
So obviously, in this particular scenario, we got one thing, but let's kind of deal with that a little bit, because you said that you gonna have a conversation. And I think that's where a lot of change begins, right? That comes back to what I said about what communion is, right?
Right.
It's very conversational, and it's the conversations that break the barriers. So how we're going to get into who you are, why you're here, and everything, and get our audience acclimated to that. But right before, let's just touch on what you just said about conversations. How do you have, as a manager of something, how do you have those tough conversations when they come up? How do you I have to almost go through a whole, like, preparation phase to get myself to some of the tough conversations I have to have. So how do you prepare yourself for tough conversations?
So I think it just depends. You got to kind of get yourself in the mood or whatever. I mean, just being a manager, or if you're selling something,
right?
You know, you got to bring that energy. So yeah. Is that, you know, listening to music, or, you know, maybe reading a scripture, or whatever that might be
right.
for you.
Yeah.
But you got to put yourself in that mode before you even see that person.
Right.
And then once you get into that person, start to read the, you know, people's body language.
Right.
And their feedback, and try to feel where they're coming from.
Yeah.
Before you start pushing your agenda.
Right.
And kind of read the room.
Yeah.
Right. Because, I mean, people are dealing with a lot of shit.
All day, every day. And COVID has kicked that up, like, to 3,000.
Right. So, you know, people dealing with a lot of shit. People got a lot of issues at home.
Right.
But at the same time, your issues at home are not my fucking issues.
Right.
And that's where we got to come together and figure out how we can make this thing right. work together.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. When I'm in a situation like that, obviously, you know, mindfulness, we talk about that a lot here on the show. Hence why E always got our good mindfulness card. She's responsible for our mindfulness.
And this card
is on. You'll be amazed how it just all comes together.
It's the universe.
It takes care of us. We set intentions, and it takes care of us.
People. That's the name of the card.
Yes, that's it. It takes care of us. You know what I mean? When you set intentions, mm-hmm. and when you're in alignment and where you're supposed to be, that availability and the willingness allows for things to unfold as they should. But what I was going to say about tough conversations, going into mindfulness, you got to be mindful of your audience. You got to know exactly who it is that you're talking to, mm-hmm. So that you can have an idea about how they might receive it, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, where they're coming from and stuff like that. So it starts with that mindfulness. Like you said, reading the room, you know, sometimes it's not a good day. You know what I mean? You got to be able to, even if I decide, you know what, today I'm talking to Chase about this because this heavy on my heart, woo-woo. Depending on how you walk through the door, I have to then now adjust myself if I realize that today is not a good day for you just because it's a good day for me.
Right.
Because sometimes when you force that on other people, you create more of an explosion. You end up creating more of a barrier than a bridge. You know what I mean? So understand that reading the room is also very important. But one of the other things a lot of times that I do is I run the conversation through myself several times through like a filtration, and sometimes it takes like days because I'm all about mutual benefit, you know what I'm saying, especially in my business. So I'm in sales, and it's important that I sell my product to my customers, but the easiest way for me to sell my product to the customers is to close a gap somehow for them to sell my product to their customers. You know what I mean? That's a mutual. If I go in saying this is what I need, a lot of times I'm met with resistance. If I go in figuring out what the gap is and getting to know them, and not even talking to them per se about the business, my particular part of the business, but just overall, and getting an understanding of what it is they're looking for, I'm able to tailor my solution to their need. And in doing that, now I have sold it, but in a way where they can't say no to it. Because after I've asked you, do you want this, do you want this, do you want this, and you say yes, and then I bring you something that's going to get you a yes on all three, and then you say you still don't want it, then I ask, do you really want what you said you want? Because now we got to figure out if you know what you want.
Right.
Because that may be the problem. It may not be that my product is not the right fit. It may be actually that you're uncertain about what it is that you need or want. So in understanding that helps me to better suit you. So it's always about mutual benefit for me. I'm not just looking for what I need.
And I think for me, when, like, I mean, I feel like I'm a manager of kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a manager of a classroom. So,
and experience. You are a manager of experience.
So, and parents.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, uh-huh, I have to choose my words wisely all the time.
Every time.
Every time, even with a child, mm-hmm, so that they can understand it. Absolutely, and know correct that I am here for them. But I feel like before all of that happens, there has to be trust,
uh-huh,
and relationship.
Absolutely.
So, like,
absolutely,
if you came to me now and was like, you know, talking about the scale, because I have been with you,
right,
training with you, yeah, for a long time, I, yeah, know that you have my interest.
Right.
Right.
You, yeah, know, my best interest, you know, correct, in the forefront.
Uh-huh.
But if people lack, you know, relationship, correct, and trust.
Right. Yeah.
You can choose your words, mm-hmm, wisely, mm-hmm, and it still won't work.
Correct.
You can read the room, right, and it still won't work, right, because they're not trusting,
yeah,
you.
It goes back to that trauma.
They're not trusting
it you. Yeah, it goes back to that, and being in situations and scenarios where probably people who were responsible for creating, fostering, upholding, maintaining trust, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, maybe did not do that. And so now you are running up against the barriers that they have built to protect themselves, mm-hmm, from people that look like you, that aren't you, but resemble you, mm-hmm, because of experiences that they've had in the past. So we are constantly chiseling away.
And that's exhausting. At,
yeah. Oh, my okay God. Maybe that's nobody my word for the week.
That's exhausting.
Exhausting. Yeah. It's a lot. That. Yeah, it's a, yeah, lot to be doing, especially when you're doing that with adults. Kids, I think that because they are so impressionable and because they're so innocent, I feel like even when you have to have those tough conversations with children, they are so open to wanting to learn and understand things that,
right,
it's even more exciting to have that conversation with you and work that out with them because they're young. And you know that if you, mm-hmm, can, you know, instill something in them while they're young, then you know what kind of results you have the potential to have once they're older. But I don't know if I was talking to you. I was talking to somebody else who was saying that it's, we were talking about that quote about
the man
and the kids. Mm-hmm. So teaching young kids versus trying to fix broken men, yeah, or whatever, mm-hmm, it is.
Yeah.
So it's easier to, even with dance, music, language, it's way easier to teach a child something when they are more receptive, mm-hmm, and without experience that makes them afraid, you know, all of those things that keeps them from wanting to learn, mm-hmm, versus adults who have so much experience, mm-hmm, even in their ignorance and inexperience, that now it taints their ability, mm-hmm, to receive love, to receive, you know, constructive criticism,
right,
to receive coaching and training, mm-hmm, and stuff like that because of the things that they've been up against. But it's very hard adulting with adults, you know, very hard to do.
So, you know, I think when it comes to kids, we have more patience.
Absolutely.
Right? For adults, our patience is thin.
Absolutely, because we expect them to know better.
Right. So if you know better, you do better.
But do they?
Absolutely not all the time.
And that's the thing. That's where I start dealing with the child on the inside of them. That gives me the ability to have patience. And maybe that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, it's about patience. And, I mean, you brought up, like, a critical point when you was talking about, you know, sales and stuff like that. But, you know, when you're communicating with people and you're creating these relationships, it's about creating a win-win for both
everybody,
people,
yeah. Uh-huh. Right?
So one of my clients was, like, a big-time entrepreneur, but he was, like, you have to create win-win situations.
Mm-hmm.
So the person who's selling, who's making the money, feels like they win. And the person who's making
the purchase,
the product,
or whatever it is,
mm-hmm, feels like they win. So it's the same thing with training. If, mm-hmm, I'm having you, you know, you need to get down to this weight. This is a win for you.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to look better. You're going to have more confidence. You're going to have this, that, and the other. And on the same back end, like, I'm going to feel more rewarded because I helped you to become,
right,
successful. I help you to, you know, teach your family how to live a healthy,
right,
lifestyle. Like, all of this stuff plays together. But when it's not a win-win and for each party, it doesn't work.
Right.
That's the issue.
So on that note, Mr. Chase Fitness, let's get into this fitness. Let's get into this business. So, all right, who are you? How'd you get started?
So my name is Quentin. I go by Q.
Mr. Chase Fitness.
Mr. Chase Fitness.
To y'all.
Yeah. I'm going to have to put that on my Instagram, Mr. Chase Fitness. So I started training maybe 10 years ago.
Okay.
I played sports growing up or whatever.
Okay.
I was diagnosed with diabetes at the age of 16.
Okay.
All right. So my uncle wound up having juvenile diabetes too.
Okay.
And he died at 32.
Okay. Okay.
I'm 32 now.
All right.
So after he died, I was like, I got to get my shit together.
Okay.
Like I.
How gotta, now? How old were you when he died?
20.
So you were 20. So this was 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was 20. I wound up, you know, still working out and stuff, but like really focusing on like a healthy lifestyle.
Okay.
Like I come from a family of diabetes, high blood pressure.
Don't we all?
CHD, yeah. You know, like
right.
all that shit that you can think about.
That but you it's get like, from food.
Exactly.
Primarily.
Right. And it's because, one, it's not that we're uneducated, but part of it is being uneducated, but the other part is ignorance, mm-hmm. right? So my whole thing behind this is like trying to show people how to live a healthy lifestyle.
Okay.
And that is capable of being done. And just because I say healthy lifestyle doesn't mean you need to be a stick figure, be skinny, just any right. other. It's a lifestyle that's just sustainable for yourself.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So, yeah.
So that's how you got into it.
Absolutely.
So, 12, how long you said you've been,
I've been training for 10 years.
Training for 10 years. So yeah. How long you have been training for 10 years yourself or training others for 10 years?
For 10 years.
You've been training other people. Okay. Yeah. Have you been a business? Have you been, is it Chase Fitness? Like is that,
yeah. Okay. It's Chase Fitness LLC. All
right. So how long has Chase Fitness been a thing? In this 10 years of training?
Since 2018.
2018. Okay. So that's about 3 years you've been doing it. What made you finally take that leap in turning it from, you know, something you did to something you were really doing?
It was about creating a win-win situation. The gym was no longer a win-win for me.
Okay.
I wasn't being treated right.
Okay.
And it was time for me. I outgrew it.
Yeah.
And instead of being stagnant and being complacent, time to grow and learn and fail and make right. mistakes and learn again and
right.
keep moving forward.
So it's interesting that you put failure in there because a lot of times I feel like people don't want to accept the failure that comes along with success. So how scary was it for you to take that kind of leap from coming from this place where everything is kind of almost mapped out for you
right.
and then figuring out how to hop out there and do it yourself?
Shit, I thought about leaving the gym for like 3 years.
Yeah.
I ain't going to need a lot of you. So, you know, it was terrifying. You don't know when your next check going to come, how much money you going to make,
right.
who going to sign up,
right.
who going to leave the gym. They ain't supposed to leave the gym, but it's like you're trying to build up this following and trying to figure out, you know, it's a whole new different aspect when you start training. Like,
yeah.
at the gym, they're giving you clients.
Right.
And you can market inside the gym. But now I'm out on my own. I got to learn about how to market, how to do payroll, how to, you know, do my own taxes, how to do, you know, scale and all of this other stuff, creating all these different options, how to network, like coming from like a person who don't like to talk to people.
Right.
Like now I got to go out and
right.
talk to randoms.
Like, yeah.
I don't want to do that.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a lot, like learning a lot and having, you know, people in your corner like, yo, you can do this, like push yourself to do it. I mean, so it took me a while. Shit, I sat in the break room and played chess for years
right.
trying to create a strategy on how the fuck I'm going to get out of here.
And then you got out of there. And how'd you feel? Day one, how'd you feel?
Oh, I was shitting my pants. For real. It was nervous, yo. It was nervous because you go from like, you don't have to worry about clients. You know, you guarantee you're going to get a check whether somebody comes up. And you guarantee you're going to get new people,
right.
whether somebody, you know, comes or not. But now I got to find a place to train these people.
Mm-hmm.
I got to pay that overhead cost.
Right.
And still get people to, like, make enough money so I can also get paid, pay my rent.
Right.
Pay
be
this,
competitive.
Be competitive.
Considering you don't have this national brand that's backing you and shit
correct.
Like that.
And I got to do all of these things by
all
myself
to work yourself.
Because I don't have a team behind
right.
me. It's just me.
Isn't it good, though, to have people around you that have these very interesting ideas? I know sometimes I lean on this one here because I feel like she's like, the people's manager.
She's the queen of ideas, yeah.
She's like the people's manager. She got all the ideas. You know, like, if I had to have a manager and I had to give my manager a name, the manager's name would be Ebony.
Right.
Because I feel like Ebony manages my ideas through her own ideas. It's just the way it is. I probably survive half the things I'm thinking about. Because once I run them through her, then they start to make more sense all of a sudden. Because Absolutely. Then she has all these other ideas to add to my ideas.
Oh, that's so nice.
I mean, that's how it is, you know? I mean, it just so... that's in many ways how I got here in the first place. You know what I mean?
Right.
I've been writing for a very long time. But it took her wanting something from me, you know, around one of my pieces that really brought the kid speaks into the kid actually speaking versus the kid writing, you know what I mean? So
right.
It's just one of those things that she has innately that I feel like she knows how to draw. The spirit inside her, the God spirit inside her knows how to connect with the God spirit inside other people
mm-hmm.
to draw and pull on that to, you know, make change. And
right.
I think that it's very important to give credit where credit is due when you have people in your circle that cause you to grow yourself up. You know what I mean? A lot of people want to be a part of your results and see the results and stuff like that just to say that they were a part of it. You know what I mean? But she's never in a position where she even wants the credit at all. You know what I mean? She just want to see you do great. And I think that's important. So I'm actually glad that you're here. So E, you know, I'm asking all these questions, but you know Mr. Chase Fitness.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's get into it.
Yeah, so I started training with him at a gym.
Uh-huh.
All I wanted to do was like know how to maneuver myself around the gym.
Okay.
And I wanted to be stronger. So I was paired with him.
Uh-huh.
I was just like new coming in.
Right.
And was paired with him and was waking up. Like he pushed me, like I'm getting up. I had to be there at 6 sometimes
yeah.
in the morning. You remember that? Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Like that is early.
For you?
Yes. And I was doing it. And a couple times I was pushed so far. I was like, I'm about to throw up. Who's going to clean it up if I throw up? Are you going to clean it or me? We got to stop.
Because right. We got to figure out what's happening here.
This is not good. But
we're not doing well.
We're not doing well. We're nice people, but we're not doing well.
But we're not doing well. Shout out to Danny Lovely Day, who just joined us, by the way.
Yeah. So I'm glad that I was paired with you. You know, like you were at the gym. Like it was just perfect timing.
The universe wins again.
Exactly.
The universe wins
again. And, like, you're not at that gym, but I am still training with you. I am still trying to be as consistent as I know how to be.
Right.
With the time that I have. Like, I had an injury. I was so sad.
Right.
Then I was like, ooh, I'm healed. And I came to boot camp yesterday and was like, ooh, maybe I'm not healed. Because I know how I feel after I work out. I know how I feel after I've been committed to something and how I feel, how I look, you know, and like other people are like, what are you doing? And I'm telling them Chase Fitness, but they don't want to do anything.
Right.
They want to take a pill, swallow it.
It's the swallow for me. It's the swallow for me.
They
want to
take a pill.
The hard
and swallow. And be like,
and boom, and be like, here I am.
They don't want to do the work. So I am.
Isn't that the craziest thing?
Yeah.
Translates across every. You don't, single
they don't
aspect
do
of people's lives.
They want
the result,
but don't
want
to do the work.
But nobody wants to do the work.
That's the whole instant gratification.
Uh-huh.
Thing,
yeah.
Though.
Yep.
Yeah.
Microwave society of
yeah.
wanting things quickly, mm-hmm. and not wanting to participate in the work that comes along with getting said results.
Yeah. So I'm glad. So like, I mean, I don't know if I've ever told you, but I'm glad that they paired me with you, and like, I feel like you have pushed me and. You continue to push me, and I know sometimes I am a nuisance in the gym. I be going crazy. I be like, I can't do it. It's too heavy. And he be like, Ebony, stop it.
Right.
Like, for real. Like, for real. I'm like, oh, that hurts.
No. I'm not ready.
Like the whole time doing it, talking about
right.
I can't.
Right.
Like,
as you are doing
as
it.
As I'm doing it.
Uh-huh.
Like
she done 30 reps
30
already.
Of them.
Exactly.
And she's saying she can't do it.
Yeah, but I trust him.
Right.
And I think that is missing.
So how do we build trust where there isn't any?
Mm-hmm.
Also where there is resistance, because sometimes So what I would say is that I give people friendship, love, whatever it is on credit, right? You know, like, we starting off and I'm going to say you're okay now.
Right.
And I'm going to give you all that now. When the bill is due, I'm going to determine whether or not you and I are a good fit. And if you are paying on time and shit like that, then we can continue this relationship of credit. Maybe you even actually get to get more over time. Or you might have to become secured. So now you got to give me a little more first before I actually... You are basically borrowing against yourself once you prove to me that you don't have it. You know what I'm saying? I'll give you a perfect example. I consider myself to be fairly friendly. You know what I mean? I think that I probably could get along with most people. Some people say that I'm not very inviting. I don't know what's wrong with them. But I do know that I could probably get along with almost any person.
Okay.
No matter where they're from, white, black, somewhere in the middle, doesn't even matter. Woman, man, I know how to get in where I fit in, and thus I know how to let people be who they are. But if I speak to you and you don't speak to me, I will stop speaking to you. I have no issue with you, but it's just the kind of respect that I demand for myself. I could actually come into a room with you every day and say no words with no hard feelings just because that's a line that I have drawn now for myself. And now you are going to have to overspeak to me in order for me to engage. Not because I don't like you or anything like that. It's just because now you are insecured. I know that if I got to speak to you every time in order to maybe you going to speak, then I'm not going to take a chance on speaking. I'm going to just, if I know that I done spoke to you and you said nothing, to right. me, in my head, you're okay with not talking to me.
And I'm okay
I'm with now okay with not talking to you. And when you want to talk, shoot your shot. That's it. That's how I am. Right. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I treat people. But how do you build relationship with people who don't want to even allow for the trust to be built? Like, sometimes you like I said, there's no, you know, preconceived notions and shit like that, and you just meet people and you click, and then, you know, trust just kind of builds over time. Mm-hmm. But there are sometimes scenarios where it is very hard to chisel away at those barriers, like we were talking about. Mm-hmm. So how do you build trust in scenarios like that? With people where it's hard. And you know you have to. So I'm taking this back to management, because at work, that is your job.
Right.
Doesn't matter if I like my employees, if I like my customers, you know, it doesn't necessarily matter if you like your students and their parents and stuff like that. And stuff like that. I don't know how you choose your clients or not, how mm-hmm. it works. But I assume we're all working in an environment where us liking or preferring is not how we do business. Mm-hmm. So because of that, we have to deal with hard, challenging people, and how do we move forward with these individuals knowing that they are presenting sometimes even deliberate challenge mm-hmm. In order to break down those barriers and try to create trust.
So, I mean, I think you have to, just starting off with yourself, you have to set some type of barriers
okay.
for yourself.
Okay.
Some stuff that you are going to tolerate, and some things that
you're just not.
Like, I'm not fucking dealing with it.
Absolutely not.
You're not going to tolerate.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's part of the issue. And then also, it's just like, over time, trust is going to be built because you're trying to build a relationship mm-hmm. with people. So it doesn't matter, like, what the situation is. And I will say, like, you can take it back to, like, fucking slavery, right?
Yeah, okay.
So if you have, like, a, you know, a slave master and, you know, a slave or whatever, they're dealing with each other every single day. These motherfuckers might hate each other.
Yeah.
But
you know who they are.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And you know what they expect.
You know what to expect.
Which builds trust.
And mm-hmm. you start to build a relationship, and that hate starts to slowly uh-huh. eat away.
Yeah.
So I think over time, it's just like, you got to figure out how you're going to build the trust. Show people that you can be trusted,
mm-hmm.
and then they're willing to open up.
And obviously that comes with doing what you say you're going to do.
Right.
I think the easiest way to build trust is through consistency and doing what you say that you're going to do. I actually was talking yesterday kind of about, you know, my childhood and stuff like that. And in certain ways that I can admit that I was probably a little more rebellious than I probably needed to be. But I know a lot of that came from the fact that I knew that there was a lack of consistency. Mm-hmm. I knew that the follow through would not always be there. You know what I mean? I knew that someone might say that they were going to punish me, but they weren't. You know, or they were going to start off punishing me and then they were going to forget, because life gets hard.
They were forget to punish me.
Yeah, right. You know, you're so busy that can you, you're not even here.
Right.
Don't watch TV. Sure thing. Okay. I'm not. No, I'm not watching it. You know, that's when parents start coming home and filling the TV and shit and it's warm, you know, weird ass shit like that, but you're not even here. You know what I'm saying? To actually enforce this kind of level of accountability. So then that's how people get off and trick off and do what they want to do because no one's there to really oversee. So in that case, how do we implement consistency when there's a gap, it's particularly for you, because obviously while your client is right there face-to-face with you, you are watching them in the process, and so you are watching the progress. But when they go home and they're not with you, how do you help to encourage consistency when they're out of your sight?
I mean, I feel like I don't want to answer for you, but I just feel like I could answer that for me, because when it was COVID and we were not meeting, I feel like that was when I was
COVID. It was
well when COVID first began and we could not meet in person.
Okay. All right.
That's
cool.
What I mean.
Gotcha.
We couldn't meet in person.
I was about to say, because y'all living in some alternative reality than me or something?
Okay. We couldn't train together
the way you
when
were
the gyms
at first.
Were closed.
Gotcha.
And
okay.
Things were,
okay. I'm
you know,
tracking. I'm with you.
I felt like
I'm with you.
The work that you did to put workouts on an app, right? We had to be so consistent.
Right.
And doing what those workouts were, and then putting up the picture,
right? Yeah.
What we were doing as your client showed you if we were committed, consistent,
right?
Whatever. Yeah. Like if we didn't put the picture up, if we didn't say we completed the workout,
right?
When you did see us, you would know that we didn't, even if we talking about we did.
Right.
Because your body is going to tell the story.
Absolutely. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
In that situation.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like you did a lot of work in helping your clients be accountable. And like that, you know, the workouts on the app and completing them and actually rating them. Actually putting the picture in. Actually putting in your food. Like, you got to do that stuff.
Right.
I mean, and I haven't been putting in the food lately, but I'm going to start it tomorrow.
I'm going to do it tomorrow, even though I'm going to eat today.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to do it tomorrow.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's...
So, I mean, it definitely goes back to management, you know.
Okay.
So, creating systems, right?
Right.
It doesn't, you know, I see you for an hour, and you still got 23 hours in the day.
Correct.
All right. So, we got to have some type of system of what you're doing, what your schedule looks like, having a routine, right? So in the morning, I'm getting up, I'm brushing my teeth. I might wash my ass, I might not. All right, but I'm going to, you know, write in a journal, show gratitude, or I'm going to do some push-ups, or I'm going to go walk for 10 minutes.
Okay.
Then I'm going to get my day started.
Right.
So, you know, creating some type of habit, because we are creatures of habit.
Absolutely.
So you got to have some type of habit and some type of routine. Once you start to break those habits and break some of those old habits, you'll start to see change through consistency.
Right.
So the biggest thing is getting people to create new habits and sticking to them habits.
Right.
So
going back to, you know, something you said, it that takes the discipline that it takes in order to do what you just said, I feel like is rooted in a certain level of order. You know what I mean?
Correct.
That needs to exist in order for you to apply that kind of discipline that gets you results.
Right.
Structure and order, to your point, you know, just knowing like every day, you know, when you wake up, need to do this. You know what I'm saying? Or every day before you go to bed, need to do this. Creating that kind of order and structure allows for you to go back to the accountability. Because if you don't have a checklist, you don't know if you've done what you were supposed to do today or not. You know what I'm saying?
You ever see the kid without any order?
Yeah.
it's a fucking show, right?
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. the same thing with adults. It don't change.
Absolutely. So. The system is all, I mean, we all are all the same people, just different sizes, colors, background, stuff like that. But it doesn't matter if you're a child or an adult. We are all operating from the same system that God made for us to operate inside of. So,
yep.
yes, some smaller, some bigger, but nonetheless, we all need the same things. And to me, structure and order seals the deal on most things, whether Absolutely. It's in your personal life or your professional life, relationships, yep. love life, friendships, whatever. Yep. There has to be parameters. There has to be, it's not so much that there are rules, but there has to be some sort of bylaw or guideline, something for you to measure against. Mm-hmm. So that you know that if you are on this side or that side, are we going this way or going that way? You know what I mean? That's very important. And I understand the idea of being free spirited and kind of letting things be as they are. But there still has to be some structure around that for people to be free inside of without just being so loose that they're rogue and not actually, you know, making progress or strides. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
I can see how that would work in your world. Even more than probably in mine, to be honest. But I mean, like in the work that I do, it takes a lot of consistency. And I tell my employees that as a matter of fact, I think consistency was my August value in action. I actually need to upgrade my email now for September. But consistency is my favorite value. We have 10. And the reason why consistency is so important to me is because I always say that when you are consistent, even when you change, you are the same. Because if every day, for my customers, for my employees, if every day you went into one of the accounts and you were pleasant, you did everything you were supposed to do, they knew what they expect and stuff like that, the day you come in with a bad day and you don't hit every single bucket, people are more than likely going to say, okay, something's up with Chase. You know, he must have had a bad morning or something because he never responds like this. This right. one day does not turn you into a bad dude.
Right.
On the flip side of that, though, if you always went in and you were ornery and rude and distant and didn't do what you were supposed to do, the day you come in and you're having a good day, people are looking at you the exact same way saying, what the fuck is up with this nigga?
Yeah.
Because what's going on? Because he ain't right. normally like this. They haven't just all of a sudden bought into the fact that you're a good person.
Right.
They're like, he either wants something from us or, you know.
He's scheming.
Yeah, he's scheming. What's up? Watch him closely because yeah. something ain't right with him. You know what I'm saying? So that's what consistency does. Consistency allows for people to see you as you have been historically, and in that they have created a perception about who you will be, even if you make a different move in this moment. You know what I'm saying? But that takes work. It takes work to come, and I tell my employees all the time, like, it's up to you to determine how people are going to see you out there in the market. It's whatever you display. It's not what the circumstance is. It's not what everybody else is doing. Whatever it is that you are doing, that is what they're going to base who you are on. And that's just everyday life. I know yeah. what people believe of me to be is based off of whatever kind of relationship they believe they have had with me. And while Ebony may see me a certain way and you may see me a certain way, there may be another person in this world that to them they have experienced me differently. And so that's their perception. But that's to them what they have been shown. And if that was shown on a consistent basis, boom, that's who I am. No matter what somebody else says, no matter how much I try to show otherwise,
right.
that's the way consistency works.
Yeah, and I know for me and like my line of work and kids and teaching and, you know, my focus for them and for myself, like, kids want to be seen, valued, and heard.
Seen, valued, heard. You hear that out there, parents.
And
seen, valued, heard.
Mm-hmm. And that takes a lot of work. That, mm-hmm. you know, that takes observation,
uh-huh.
that takes listening,
yep.
that takes, you know,
interest.
Like, I have to read about the families before they come to my room.
Absolutely.
I have to read.
Get to know them.
I have to, like, parents fill out a sheet.
Mm-hmm.
How do they discipline?
Mm-hmm.
What do they celebrate?
That's it.
What are they scared? What are their fears?
Right.
What soothes them? So yeah. when they come in my room,
understanding.
I already know.
Uh-huh.
I have an overview that when he stands in the corner, he's probably a little shy and
right.
nervous.
Yeah.
So then you know, I'll think back, okay, what soothes him? Oh, okay, he likes trucks. Okay.
Right.
I'll push over a little truck over there.
Right.
Just because I know you like them.
Correct.
And then that is my entry point.
Right.
So I think kids want to be seen, valued, and heard.
So do adults.
And so do adults.
And most time it's the kid inside the adult who is looking for it more than anything because of experiences in their childhood where they were not seen, mm-hmm. Where they were not valued, and where they were not heard. Mm-hmm. And we just end up being adults getting the brunt end of the temper tantrum that mm-hmm. the adult is now having mm-hmm. for years of haven't been
yep.
seeing value in her. So I think that, you know, us understanding that and having this conversation, and hopefully the people watching too, creates a certain level of grace and compassion for the people that we're dealing with. Because here's the thing. We want it, right? We want to be seen. We want to be valued. We want to be heard as adults our own selves. And there are times where we're going to get it wrong too. And we're going to expect that when we get it wrong, somebody somewhere is saying, okay, cut this guy a break. You know what I mean? So we got to be prepared to cut people breaks even when in tough situations and scenarios. But it's been a good show, man. I was almost gone. I would have to ask you, Mr. Chase Fitness, if you had to leave something with the audience, right? So a lot of these people may or may not know you, what you do in your business. Let's start with what's one of the things that you ask all your clients to do? Like when they sign up, and one way that you ask them to commit to the process, that whatever process that you're going to enlist in with them particularly?
I would probably say just be willing to learn.
Willing to learn. Yeah. Okay.
Be willing to learn and to be accountable. Like, I'm okay. Like, we all gonna make mistakes. We right. all gonna fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
But be honest with yourself. If you're not honest with yourself, you can't be honest with me. So.
Okay. So be willing to learn. Be honest. What's one tip that you would give someone that may not be working out, may not necessarily be in a position where they are choosing healthier ways to live? What's one way to get started, to bridge that gap from doing nothing to doing something?
Start small.
Okay.
I don't think you're going to change the world tomorrow.
Okay.
Start with small habits. Create a schedule for yourself. Create a small routine. It ain't got to be crazy. It can be just walking for 10 minutes every day till you get started. And then in a month, go to 15 minutes. And then, you know, just keep
building,
making these small steps.
Gotcha.
And then once you get comfortable with those steps, then you can make it larger and right. larger and larger. It's kind of like a snowball. If you take a snowball, you roll it down the hill. The more momentum it gets, the right. bigger and bigger and bigger it gets.
Absolutely. And then, so where can people find you, Mr. Chase Fitness?
On Instagram at Chase Fitness VA, and then also on Facebook at Chase Fitness VA too.
So Chase Fitness VA, any underscores, dots, or weird
straight up
letters? And
straight up.
All right, so straight up Chase Fitness VA on Instagram and Facebook. You got any email contact or whatever, or they just find it if they come
yeah,
to your page?
If they come to my page, they can find it. But it's also Quentin, that's Quinton, at chase-fitness.com.
Y'all heard that. I'm not repeating that.
All
right.
And you can also find him every Saturday morning.
Oh, yeah.
In the place to be, where Ebony always
be,
is.
Yeah.
Where's the place to be?
Jones Point Park.
Jones Point Park.
Woodrow Wilson Bridge.
Okay.
We do a boot camp.
And what time are you doing that?
That's at, this Saturday is going to be at 8:30, though. 8:30 a.m. Yeah.
8:30 a.m., you said $10?
$10.
$10, that's it.
$10
for an hour of working out with Chase Fitness, and most of the time, E-Day, too. So if you want to catch up with E-Day in the flesh,
find
her in the flesh at Jones Park, down there under the bridge, for $10.
For $10.
Yeah.
All right, E, what you got for us on our mindfulness cards before we get up out of here?
All right. So it's just so funny that we've been talking about people and how we have to interact with them
uh-huh.
and how we are not managing them but managing the process.
Uh-huh.
This card I chose in the car
uh-huh.
today.
Before we got here.
Before we
knew about off the grid.
Anything.
Welcome back and accountability.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I chose the card. It's called The Internet of People.
The Internet of People.
And it says, when we engage with everyday objects, we can choose to look deeper to appreciate the incredible world behind the object. Every product, service, or experiences that make up our lives, from the food we eat, to the products we purchase, to the streets we walk upon exists because of the work, commitment, and love of hundreds, sometimes even thousands of people. This is the true internet, the network of human beings who either directly or indirectly have made life as we know it possible. Pick an object or a person. I'm putting a person in there because okay. They just said pick an object.
Okay.
Pick an object or a person today that you've never considered closely and take a moment to reflect on all the energy that went into its existence. May the appreciation flow.
May the appreciation flow. Pick your thing or pick your person. Consider all of the energy that went into this person's
being
existence.
Being existing.
This person actually existing before you. Regardless of who they are, how they treat you, what they look like or act like, the fact that, going back to what I said about that one breath, right? If they are standing above ground and they have life inside their body, which means God has given them a chance, if you are not in a position where you want to give them a chance, you should consider yourself. Do not even consider the person to which you have this thing with. Consider yourself that you think yourself so great, so big, and so grandiose, above God almost, that you would think that you could shrink them down to nothing when God is giving them a chance right in front of you, while also giving you a chance at the same time. Consider that about people. Let's get to the close. Let's throw our affirmation back out there to the people so that they can take this good meat that we done dropped on them today. Until next Sunday, what we got, E? Give them the affirmation. Wait, hold, real quick. Anything else, Mr. Chase of Business, before we get about it? Any last words?
Yeah. I'm doing a cancer boxing charity event.
Okay, cancer boxing charity event.
Yeah, it's called Haymakers for Hope. It's going to be November 4th at the DC Anthem. You can also check on my Instagram. I have tickets going up on sale, not this weekend, but the next weekend.
All right, so be looking out for that. Always good with the charities and anything that's going to be taking care of our people, bringing awareness to anything and changing people's lives. Always here for it. So thank you for that, for dropping that on this last E, our affirmation, and get us up out of here.
So we don't repeat it this time. I just say it.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Just helping my trainer out here. Okay. I have a healthy heart, body, soul, and mind. I am full of positive and nourishing thoughts. Communion is where I come to unite with those around me. I am present and grounded in this experience. I am here. I am whole.
We're here and we are whole. To the bars, people. To the bars. Yo. Yo. We back. Yo. 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 We back. Yo. 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 We back. Yo. I'm a professional. Y'all gotta give it to me. That shit be lit. If y'all just actually had some bars, this shit would be tight.
You always have an intro.
Yo.
Hey.
Yo.
Be
hey.
Back.
Yo.
Be back.
It's what I do, though. Yeah, I'm saying.
There's nothing wrong with keeping it simple.
I'm trying to tell you. I guess. I don't never had nothing. Though. I have no rhymes. That's it. All right. We out. Good show.